Hey, Heartbreakers. Welcome back to another Breakdown bonus episode. This is another solo episode with just me, which I feel like this season, for season six, I've done more solo episodes than ever. And I kind of dig it. I feel like in a way it's a conversation between me and you where we can just talk about relationships in this episode that came out this week, which little backstory, obviously if you listen, which I'm assuming you did because you're here, this is maybe the second or third time we've had somebody come on the podcast one time, tell a devastating breakup story, and then come on in and share that something else has happened to them, which is just really heartbreaking and devastating. But I mean, that's just kind of the way things go. Like if you're trying to figure out your relationships and your love life, like you got to get knocked down a couple of times before you find the right person. And it's always fun to follow up with people and see where they are in their love lives. Because if you remember from this week, it was the first time around, it was a story all about her getting married, having kids, like doing this whole suburban dream. And then one day, I mean, I don't want to spoil the episode if you haven't seen it yet, but basically she finds out that her husband's cheating on her in like one of the worst ways imaginable. Like I cannot even imagine the trauma. And so obviously keeping up with her, and she shoots me a DM and she's like, Abby, you will not believe the shit that I just went through. Like I've been in this relationship for 3 years and I cannot believe that I just found out that me and other women have been dating him while he has simultaneously been in multiple relationships with other people. So once again, a pattern of cheating here, which absolutely sucks. And so towards the end of the episode, we've talked about, you know, what she's learned from these situations. And I always think that's a really important piece of knowledge to take away from A, somebody who's been through it once, but also somebody who's been through it multiple times, because maybe it's that first time around that knocks you down, but you kind of pick yourself up and you maybe move forward with a sense of naivete of like, you know what, that's not going to happen to me again. And then it happens to you a second time around. And it's like, oh, like I've really got to take this seriously, because now there's a pattern in my life of maybe me being attracted to a certain type of person and something's got to change. And so the main piece of advice that we got from this main episode was that she said that she thought it was really important to start bringing the people that she's dating around her friends and family so that she can't just silo herself into like those love goggles that you get when you start dating somebody, especially for a long period of time. And that to me really stood out about this relationship was the fact that she had never met his mom. And also from like the tail end of the podcast where she was talking about the advice of like wanting to really invite people into the relationship, it really does feel like her relationship was so secretive for a really long time. Because also when I interviewed her, like I don't think she had disclosed that she was in a new relationship, which people would do for a variety of reasons. That's totally fine. But to me, if I'm in that relationship, I'm seeing this sense of secrecy as a major, major red flag. And so that's a huge stepping point and a huge massive point of growth for somebody to start recognizing like, oh, it's really good to actually date in community, because people know that you have to live with your decisions and your mistakes. So they're going to step back a little bit. But when you invite people to give their opinions and how they're sensing a situation without the love goggles, it's vital. Because I'm telling you, once you get those chemicals rolling through your brain, like you are dating drunk and you're not going to see clearly, because all you're going to see is the fact that you love this person and you care for them and you want to be with them. And the last thing you want to do is do something uncomfortable, like go through a breakup, and everything in you is going to fight against that. But if you have people on the outside pointing out things that might not be right or might not be aligning with how your life should go, that kind of insight really shouldn't be taken for granted. So something else that I want to talk about is also, how do we know if something is our intuition or if it's just anxiety? Because if we're going to go into relationships with a clear head and really be observant as to the behaviors that our partners are going to have and make sure that we're not going to get screwed over or manipulated, I know a lot of people have the question of, well, I'm really trying to listen to my gut, but I know I'm a naturally anxious person, or I'm somebody who does tend to overthink things. So can I really be sure if it's going to be me, or is it just me being paranoid? And I actually put out an episode about 6-ish months ago, actually 6 months to the date. Wow, this is quite the coincidence. I put out an episode called Is It My Intuition or Is It My Anxiety? And I had done this whole like internet deep dive about trying to figure that out for myself, if I'm being honest with you, because I'm somebody who does run naturally anxious. So I always jump to worst case scenario, which may contribute to the fact that I have an avoidant personality style and might be one of the reasons why I've never been in a serious relationship. But I like to think that I am really good at listening to my gut and my intuition. The main thing that I got from listening to mental health experts and relationship experts about listening to your intuition and what that really feels like in your body is the overarching theme is that it's a calm sense of knowing. So think about that. Like anxiety and a calm sense of knowing are completely the opposite. When you feel something in your gut, it's not gonna necessarily be like a panic attack kind of feeling. It's not gonna be like alarms ringing in your head 24/7. Again, I'm not a mental health expert, but as somebody with anxiety, like I know that feeling versus like, oh, I kind of see that this is happening. And even if it doesn't feel comfortable, it's not necessarily something that's making me break out into a cold sweat. And so I'll give you an example. And it's funny because I was thinking about this today for some reason, but I remember when I had just graduated from college and I was applying to jobs and I was trying to figure out what I was going to do post-grad. I had sort of fallen into, this is just like the such a weird thing about my entire career is everything just sort of has happened by accident or by happenstance. And the way I got my first job at my first radio station post-grad was I had come into a station just to do like some networking. Like I thought I was just going to like make a couple people giggle and make some connections and blah, 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 schmooze, kiss ass, all that. And I ended up like leaving with a job offer. And that was really overwhelming because in my mind, I was like, oh, when I get my first job post-grad, like I'm going to have to submit resumes and blah, 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 do the whole gambit, interviews, blah, blah, blah. And here I am like sitting on like an ideal job offer, but there were things about it that didn't particularly excite me. Like I wanted to move to a big city post-grad. Like I wanted to move to Nashville. I wanted to move to New York, all of those blah, blah, blah. And this job was in my hometown. And I was like, that's literally the last thing I want to do. And typically when I think about big changes in my life, that is always something that causes me anxiety. Any big change, anything that comes out of nowhere always pings anxiety for me because it's very uncomfortable. I'm a Taurus. I don't like change. I'm very stubborn. But even though the future was something that was anxiety inducing, I remember when I got that job offer, I'm like, oh, of course this is how things were going to go. Like there was just something in my gut that even though I wasn't 100% comfortable with the fact that I was going to move home to my hometown, I still knew that that was the right decision. And so I think about that a lot when I think about my own gut decisions and my own internal feelings and instincts is I try not to see anxiety as like the universe telling me that something is incredibly wrong and something I need to like control it. I usually see that as, oh, I probably had too much caffeine and my cortisol is really high. Whereas when I really can sit with something, even if it's uncomfortable and it just feels right, or it just feels like, oh, of course that's going to happen. Or of course I can totally see how that makes logical sense. That to me has always been the differentiating point between I'm about to have a mental breakdown and I can sense that this is happening or this is going to happen. So all of this to say is in interviewing a lot of people who have walked away from their relationships is the people that leave relationships and stay out of bad relationships are always the people that have that tangible, like, oh, I need to get the hell out of here. This isn't right. And we even really saw that in this week's main episode where she had that tangible evidence of, oh, he's stepping out on this relationship, I'm gonna get out. And I think that's the prime example of a calm sense of knowing of, yeah, like she's not thrilled that her partner is cheating on her or having relationships with other women. Like, I don't know what the arrangement from his opinion, or I don't know how he saw the relationship, but in her mind, she's like, yeah, I've seen what I've needed to see. I'ma leave. She's not happy about it. She doesn't want it to happen. It's not a comfortable thing. Any breakup sucks, but at the end of the day, like your intuition says, this is not right and I need to leave. And the last thing I want to touch on really quickly that I think is really important just with the themes of protecting women and raising awareness for domestic violence that this podcast has done in the 3 years that it's been a production is I want to make sure that I draw attention to some of the resources in the episode description that I have. Your state is going to have different laws than the next state over in terms of like what evidence or the process for getting a restraining order will contain. Like everything is going to be different. Like she even talked about it in this episode. Like there was one state where all you needed was a threat, whereas the other state over for somebody else, like you needed tangible proof that you had been harmed physically in some way. So if you feel like you're in danger from somebody, like maybe an ex or just somebody in your life, I would highly encourage you to look into getting a protective order if you feel like you're in danger in any way, because it may actually be easier than you think and it could end up saving your life. Or if you know somebody else that's in a situation, it could end up saving their life too. So definitely want to draw attention to that and make sure I added that into this bonus episode. But other than that, that's really it that I feel like we needed to cover. We are wrapping out season 6. We are wrapping out the season and I'll be taking 2 weeks off for Christmas Eve. And then I'll probably do a rerun on New Year's Eve. It just kind of worked out that on Tuesday, it's 2 major holidays. So I'm like, you know what? Let's have a good break in between season 6 and season 7, because A, I want to drink some eggnog and see my family, but also I always really appreciate getting to have some buffer space. So that's all from me. I will see you whenever you decide to tune in next.